Yeah. Well, I've been doing this for, I mean, it's fun to see that as I go back and look at some old sermons, see the evolution of my sermon outlines and stuff. And we've gone down to 2 Jesus points instead of 3. I last preached a similar message that I'm preaching this morning in 2014. But since you're all new from that time period, I thought no one will remember what I said then. And if those who are here, you don't remember anyway. But it's just been fascinating. And it's a new series. Instead of a life as a box of chocolates, I've changed it to wisdom for princesses and princesses. So it's a little different. And I rework every sermon anyway. But as my preaching mentor said, why waste a really good sermon? Preach it one or more times. I mean, it's just, you know. So I thought that was, what did I spell wrong? Cool.
It's just for princesses.
Yes, just for princesses today.
No princesses allowed.
Still waiting on my tiara.
Okay, as they say, yes, I'm good to go here.
Plural.
Well, I'm glad you guys saw that because we all have concerns and commitments and care.
We all just care so much about
this. I was telling someone this week, I said, I have not made this many public errors combined in the last 3 weeks. I've done more, I've read from wrong chapters, I've said wrong things. Now I've done this over the years. My favorite one was belly jeans. I wanted to say jelly beans, but I said belly jeans. And so, so that's my favorite one. I've done other faux pas over the years, but the public is becoming more embarrassing, and you've been great. And several of you I've actually broken down with, thank you so much for the love you have for me, because it's like, put up with that. I mean, let's find something better to do, right? But we do have commitments, cares, and concerns. We all do. And it's interesting how we don't often evaluate them. We just make them. We just make commitments, and we don't think, well, maybe I shouldn't do this. And I've watched many a person say, yeah, I'll be there, or I'll do that, and then what happens? They don't show up. And because to them, their word is not their bond. They're just their commitments are such that, and then concerns easily move into worries. You can be concerned about something, but then you start to worry, then you fuss. And there's a new term for, instead of a helicopter mom, I forgot what they called it now. I use drone mom. But because they're still hovering, but they're farther away, and they shoot those missiles at the kids. But anyway, but there's just they get concerned, but then they become possessive, and it's just really, and in care, our life is full of cares, just all over the place, and it's interesting what we care about, isn't it? And you find out it's the old song: you don't know what you've got till it's gone, you don't know what you care about till finally, it's different. Something's changed about it. And I know, I believe, and I was sharing with this in a DIN direct with many people this week. Today's what date? April 7th. What chapter are we supposed to do?
The 7th.
We're supposed to do the 7th chapter. Well, for some strange reason, my mind said it was the 6th. And so I did all this work. I reworked the sermon. I put a lot into it, and I did all the studies. Get it to Jim Doherty, and Jim says, you do realize this is the 6th chapter, not the 7th. I said, well, yeah, so isn't it the 6th this Sunday? And he said, no. So I was looking at I could give you an excuse. I was looking at the wrong calendar. I don't know what I was doing. But at any rate, I believe God made a mistake. I mean, no, I made a mistake. And God's going to fix the mistake, is what I'm saying. And I said this to several people. He takes everything and makes it what?
Good.
So he's going to make this good this morning, even though it's the wrong. And you guys, for you linear sequential people, I want to apologize to you now, because some of you are very linear sequential. We're out of sequence. So don't get bothered by that, please. Not that I'm one of them. So I just thought it was funny. Yeah, it's all good, as they say, because God works all things out for the good, especially those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So our big idea for chapter 6 is avoid certain foolish commitments, avoid severe concerns, and avoid needless care. Pretty simple. Avoid certain foolish commitments, severe concerns, and needless care. Just avoid them, and it's life gets easy. But if you're involved in them, we'll read in this next chapter here, verses, what we're to do. So first of all, let's look at avoiding foolish commitments. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Now again, he's raising princes. Solomon is talking to his sons here, but it's also applicable to all the children of God, if you will. My son, if you have put up security for a neighbor, if you had struck hands in a pledge for another, if you have been trapped by what you said ensnared by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. Go and humble yourself. The word there for humble is be stomped on. Go there and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. So, first of all, you have to avoid getting involved in unwise financial dealings. Unwise financial dealings. Avoid that. Just recently, was it a year ago? It seems like shorter, but it could have been a year ago. Someone asked me to be a cosigner. Not a family member. I was shocked. I was honored in a weird sense, like, I'm glad you think I'm honorable, but do you realize I can't do this? I can't co-sign, because if they fail on the loan, who gets to pay? Yeah, I don't want to do that. So you don't co-sign with people. The scripture's saying that, right? Don't do that. If you have done it, get out of it. If you've made any commitment, if you're trapped by the words of your mouth, if you made a commitment, don't not show up. Get out of the commitment. Does that make sense? For example, a number of years ago, this is way back when I was scouting Crystal's team. I was going to take Bethany's team to U14 because I already had three daughters at home. I didn't want 14 teenagers, okay? And they're all girls, a girls' soccer team, okay? And so I was going to take their team, Crystal's team over, and I was going to rise them up to competitive, et cetera. And so I made that commitment. Well, Bethany wanted me to coach her one more year. So I went to the players and the coach, and everybody's helping me scout, and saying, look, guys, here's the deal. My daughter wants me to coach one more year. Can I get out of this commitment? I'll do it next year. There's a lot of scrubbing. You made your word, but I need to get out because, and so we had this dialogue, and I got out of it. But what would somebody else have done? Just blow it off. No, not now. You want to do what Jesus wants you to do? Get out of it with your own mouth. Say, look, I can't do this. I cannot do this right now. I'm way overwhelmed. I got too much to do. And that's what it says there, right? If you're overwhelmed, right? Ensnared by the words of your mouth. You made a commitment and you go, Now, for example, another example, I was asked to sub coming up in a couple weeks. And I said, I got to look at my calendar. And I got it on my phone, but I want to see it in one picture. I can't see one day at a time because I got to see the whole picture. I got out my calendar and I saw, I'm subbing here and here, and we got annual business meeting. We got this. I can't do that. Well, it's easy money, and I don't think that way. They're trying to motivate me. It didn't work. So now I have to bless you, right? So I'm gonna call on Monday and say I can't do it. That's how I do things. So let me check into this. I do it with you guys. If I ask you to do something, don't give me a no now. Don't give me a yes now. I want you to think about it. Pray about it. Because a lot of times we ensnare ourselves and make a commitment too quickly. And Ecclesiastes and a lot of other places talk about making vows rashly. Because the Lord will require it of you. So what do? You go and humble yourself. Press your plea with your neighbor. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyes. Do it quickly. Free yourself like a gazelle. Woo-hoo, woo-hoo, or Daffy Duck. From the hand of the hunter. That does fit here, you notice. Yeah. Okay, like a bird from a snare of the fowler. Do it quickly, but avoid especially, particularly financial dealings, because the one who has in debt is enslaved to the loaner, right? Now in our culture, you almost have to have a loan to buy something big, like a car or buy a house, and even what's his name, David Ramsey's allowing for that, but you get out of debt quickly. You get out of debt. But again, here, be careful with your mouth. Don't make foolish commitments. And notice, work hard. Not just hardly work, but work hard. Verse 6. When you commit, you work hard. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. You know what slugger word is? And we got a different translation there. Slothful? Yeah, sloth. That's the word. Real slow. They're just kind of pulling here, you know what I'm saying? Like that one commercial with the sloth that never moves the entire commercial. But go consider it, the ant. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, verse 8, yet it stores its provisions in the summer and gathers its food in harvest. So it's prepared. It prepares ahead of time. Now, I do this a lot. I buy extra toilet paper, so I'm never out. I keep restocking. It's just a little pet peeve I have. We got extra paper towels. We got extra soap. We just got extra stuff. And as soon as I get down to a certain amount, I go get more. when the money's there, actually. And so I rotate the stock and do all this kind of stuff. So you prepare to do this. But I like what verse 9 says, how long will you lie there, you slothful sluggard person? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And what comes? Poverty will come like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. Wow. And in a culture that is encouraging slothfulness, in a culture that rewards laziness, we need to stand out and earn our day's wage and work hard. As I told my daughter, she's working out the other yesterday, she called me, my youngest, and I said, work hard and sweat. Oh, you know, Dad, I do. But I tell people that. I don't say, oh, don't work too hard. You never hear me say that. I haven't said it for a long time. But work hard and sweat. Honor the Lord with your efforts. Work hard. And even if you don't get an honest day's wage, you work for it anyway. And I believe that the Lord will honor you at some point, at some time. So, avoid foolish commitments financially and avoid foolish work commitments. So work hard at them. Avoid severe concerns. This is the seven things the Lord is concerned about. Six things, yea, no, seven. Okay, verse 16. There are six things the Lord hates. You know what the word hate means? Hate. Yeah, he hates it. Seven things that are detestable to him. Another translation is abomination, abomination. Seven things that are abomination. Am I saying that too much? You ready? Number one, haughty eyes. Let our eyes be humbled instead of haughty. And I don't need to give you examples, do I? That's why we talked about a lying tongue is the second one. Let your tongue be sweet and truthful. James says, do not all seek to be teachers, for you do not know you'll be judged more harshly. If you can't control your tongue, don't be a teacher. Yes, I read that to myself regularly. He hates lying tongues. Who's the father of lies? Satan. Yeah, Satan's the father of lies. There are some people that truth is a foreign language to them. It's fun to learn them. Hands that shed innocent blood. It's right up there with lying and haughtiness. And we know the greatest shedding of blood is where? In the womb. Is that what you said? In the womb. We praise God. Statistics are saying abortions are going down. But they're not zero yet. They never may never be. But you know what? What more innocent blood can be shed? He hates it. He weeps over it. Let us not have murderous hands, but hands that are merciful. And if you have not seen it, The Unplanned is an intense movie, but it's well seeing. Well worth seeing. I left the word out, didn't I? Huh? Unplanned? Did it go already?
No.
It's all.
It hasn't come out.
Yes, it has, because they saw it.
Oh, yeah, we saw it a week ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's out. You read the book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Kathy read the book. It's just intense. This is by a woman. If you don't know what it's about, it's by a woman who was head of a major abortion clinic, right? And she was never in the back room, but she was asked in the back room once. And it just gave her such a severe outlook on what was happening there back there that she started having some heavy questions. And this movie is about her story in the book, and I hear it's pretty close to the book. But it's something that we've got to. Friends, I'm going to take a side note because I'm getting emotional. The reason the Lord wiped out the Canaanites, remember Jericho and those guys, right? What's the guy's name? Help me. Joshua. Yeah, Joshua wiped out the Canaanites because of their horrible sin. The blood of their innocent were crying out. And the gods of Chokmesh and Molech were passing the children through the fire. They consider it infanticide. We're already there. New York passed the bill for this. That was a heinous, abominable sin to the Lord. And we've got to pray that our nation repents from this. And it starts in the church. It starts in the church. But those gods are coming back, and we're inviting them back to our nation, which was founded on Christian principles. Then verse 18 talks about the next one. The fourth one is a devious heart, a heart that devises wicked schemes. They're out there. You are not paranoid. People are planning your demise. Okay? It's ridiculous. I hear Christians doing that. You just stop it. Okay, number five, feet that are quick to rush into evil. Woo, woo, they're just eager. Whoosh. They're the coyote. Meep, meep. Whir, the roadrunner. So, do not have frivolous feet, but make sure your feet are pointed in the right direction. It was fun when I was doing not only horses, what else were we doing? I was pitching something. I forget what it was now. But your foot had to be pointed toward the, I was a PE class, never mind, doesn't matter. But anyway, where your feet are, where you throw, where you point your foot, like if you're going to throw a baseball, you point your left, your right hand, you point your left foot where you're throwing. You point your toe. It has a lot to do. If your toe's over here, you're throwing against your body, so your ball's going to go this way. It's just a natural thing. So you want your, everything's pointing. You release your hand that way. You release your foot in that direction. Shooting basketball's the same thing. Your foot's pointing at the basket. It's just the same thing. You're throwing horseshoes. Whatever you're doing, you're pointing your feet. So whichever way your feet are going, the body's going to go, right? It's just that simple. Try riding a bike with your feet in the wrong direction. It don't work. So make sure your feet are in the right direction, not quick to rush into evil. Number six, a false witness pouring out lies. The Lord hates it because, again, it's lies. Now, there's two things between lies and deception. A lie is an outright untruth, okay? You can keep your doctor, okay? It's an outright untruth, all right? But then there's deception. Deceptions are half-truths to make you think something else. Okay? That's done a lot, isn't it? That's done a lot.
You pay a premium.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, I have a list here. Where'd my list go? There it is. Whoops, I'll get that later. Ooh, it'll fall through the cracks. For example, the check is in the mail. Yes, you get this one, I'll pay the next time. I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today. My wife doesn't understand me. Probably understands way better, right? Trust me, I'll take care of everything. Oh, of course I love you. Girls, are you hearing that one? That's one of the biggest lies the guys say to you. Oh, of course I love you. Oh, and they bat their eyes at you. Okay, it's not the money, it's the principle of the thing. Oh, I never watch television except for PBS. And Netflix, and yeah. But we can still be good friends. She means nothing to me. I'll call you later. I've never done anything like this before. Sorry, we can't come to the phone right now. When people come to my door and want to buy things, I've learned to say I don't have money for that. Because years ago I said I don't have money. Well, I did have money. I figured out that was a white lie. So the Lord convicted me of that, and I said, okay, I don't have money for that. I'm telling the truth now. Nanner, nanner, nanner. Oh, yeah, from then on, yeah. And that helped with my children growing up, as my wife reminded me. And lastly, the seventh one, a man who stirs up dissension among the brothers. A man who stirs up dissension among the brothers. Have you seen people do that? Now, when I was a catcher in baseball, and I got to talk to the batters, the batter would come up, I'd tell the story of the three little strikes, you know, mama strike, papa strike, and baby strike. Or I tell the guy, can you believe that stupid mistake your third baseman did? How do you guys deal with him? Or when I'm on a basketball team, I'd try to stir up dissension on the other team. Oh, the Lord, when I read this, oh my goodness, I used to do this. Oh, but people do that. Christians do that because they enjoy the D word. What is it?
Drama.
They love the drama. They cannot watch life without drama. And if there's no drama, they have to stir it. So they'll start people fight because they're not comfortable. They don't know how to deal with peace and calm. They're nervous, you know, people working together. Oh, but no, give me drama. Give me drama for the Lord. No, we didn't want to do that one. Okay, so we've got foolish commitments. We've got severe concerns, and now we have needless care. This is a hard one, but we're going to do it anyway. Here it is. Needless care, avoid care for the immoral person. I say the immoral person because this specifically speaks to the adulterous woman. But friends, we have young men who do this. Josh McDowell used to call them the antiquing business. Boys like to make antiques of girls. They ruin them. So, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. Fasten them around your neck. Are these literal or figurative? It's literally figurative. Yes. Yes. Bind it to you. You know, if you have to do it literally, then do it. But this is figuratively. Don't let go. Grab onto them. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For these commands are lamp. This teaching is a light in the corrections of discipline and the way of life, keeping you from the immoral woman. Anybody have a translation to a different phrase there? Evil woman. Yeah, ELO, right? Electro-like orchestra, evil woman. The evil woman, yeah. Now, mind you, there's evil boys out there. So I don't want to just favor the girls. From their smooth tongue of the wayward wife, her flattery. Take care to avoid her flattery. Definition of flattery is real simple. Excessive and insincere praise giving, especially further one's own interest. I'm complimenting you to get something out of you, not because I'm sincere. So if I say your hair looks nice or you look good in that dress, I don't want anything out of that. I just mean it. I have no ulterior or exterior motives. But we must watch out for flattering lips. People, oh, makes, do you get the heebie-jeebies when people do that to you? They start flattering you. You go, ew, I feel dirty. No, and and you're not going to get anything out of me. And it, like I said, with some people, they think money motivates me. So, oh, you can make a full day of pay without it. It doesn't motivate me. I'm going to do this for the money. You know, but people flatter us, and they're out there. Yes, even in the church. I will never do it to get you to, oh, you do this so well. Can't you do this for me? I remember the last time you did it. I don't do that. No, if anything, I talk you out of it. You don't want to do this anyway. Okay? But be careful of her flattery, right? Do not lust in your heart after her beauty or his beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. She puckers her lips like this. Yes. Oh, my goodness. They're good at it. They're good at it. Don't be sucked in by her beauty. For the prostitute reduces you to what? A cheap loaf of bread that's been reduced in price. Day-old bread. Yes, stale. That's good. And adulterous preys upon your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap and not get burned? Answer? Oh, yeah, I'm different. I have Kevlar on. I have asbestos. No, you ain't no different. A number of years ago when I was in college, a single young man, young Christian, to excuse myself, I took my Gideon Bible and I put it in my breast pocket. And I went to go see my girlfriend. It needed to be 3 inches deeper and 2 inches over. Know what I'm saying? Where's the Word of God need to be? In my heart, that I might not sin against. But that didn't work. I thought maybe the Bible in my pocket would work. Didn't work. Got to be where? In my heart. Yeah. So, I don't mean to make a negative testimony. But it's kind of positive. It was in the wrong place, right? So, but I've known many a young man who thinks they can deal with it. I used to see women alone when I was a counselor. Don't do that anymore. And I could tell you story upon story of how foolish people are thinking they can avoid the situation. But it says here, can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? That's why they try to mock God with this. Well, I can do it. No, you can't. You're going to blister up later. So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go what?
Unpunished.
Will go unpunished. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet if he is caught, he must still pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery lacks judgment, and whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot. How long? And his shame will never be wiped away. For the jealousy arouses a husband's fury. And he will be shown no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse the bribe, however great it is. And I've witnessed this. I had a friend who committed adultery, and the husband wanted to kill the guy, and we had to really intervene because he was going to do it. And it's like, wow, this is the verse playing out. And he tried to make amends. Oh, I'm sorry. It didn't work. Why? Because what does it say? Never. Never. Whether that's a hyperbole of exaggeration or what, it's pretty intense, whatever it is. So, simple answers to avoid these needless areas, because it's needless. People love you. Every time I get the sub for any school, particularly middle school, I get a group of girls and I say, please be choosy about the men you pick. And look at these guys. They're brain dead till they're 42 anyway. Okay? So be choosy. Have a checklist. To the young girls in our church, I say, checklist. First one, they got to be a believer in Jesus. Then they got to love you with the godly love of 1 Corinthians 13. Not the syrupy love of an ice cream cone. I love you like ice cream. And they consume you. No. And now I'm going to get my soapbox. Here it comes. I'm going to make sure I'm in the right place before I get my notes here. Yes, okay, I'm in the right place. Okay. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. For every Samson, there's a Delilah. And for every Tamar, there's an Amnon. Let me explain. Every Samson, there's a Delilah. How many times did Delilah go to Samson? Oh, if you love me, you'll tell me the secret of your strength. Bat, 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 bat. Four or five times. I have it noted here. Let me see what my notes say. I think it's four or five times. Yeah, at least three, but I must pause. It's four or five. But the point is, she kept going to him, and he was stupid. He was dumb in the cabeza, you know what I'm saying? He just kept, oh, dude. How many times did I tell you? I would warn people. They come back from Promise Keepers and they're standing up here. I had 12, 14 guys stand up here one year and a lot of young men were with them. And they're, oh yeah, I'm going to live for Jesus now. And I'd get up here and I'd warn them. There's going to be a Delilah wiggling her fanny in your face. You got to be careful. It wasn't 3 weeks. Or after ATF, Acquire the Fire, they come back and I'd preach a sermon. Now that you've acquired the fire, fan the flame. And they'd come back and there comes their Delilah. So warn everybody. For every Samson, there's a Delilah. Now, who knows Tamar and Amnon's story? Tamar was one of the sisters, the daughters of David. Yeah, sister of Absalom. Okay? Amnon was one of the sons of David. And Amnon really thought Tamar was foxy, man. She was the cream of the crop. Woo, you know, kind of a thing. There was this, wow. And so he feigned being sick. He pretended to be sick, and only Tamar could help him in his sickness. So she made some mandrakes for him, and she set them up. Oh, no, come here, sister, come here. Oh, you need to feed me. Oh, I am so sick. And he draws her into his web and reels her in, and what does he do? You know the rest of the story? He rapes her. Please don't do this thing. Please. You're honoring. Just ask my father, and he'll give me to you, but do not do this thing. But what did he do? And I can't betray confidence, but I'd love to because there's some great stories where you warn people, don't go over there. I know what's going to happen. And like when Obi-Wan Kenobi felt Alderaan die and the whole planet exploded and he got sick to his stomach, it happened to me where I know something was happening. And I warned them, don't go. But they went anyway. Please, this is so biblical. For every Samson, there's a Delilah. The enemy wants to screw you up royal and ruin your walk. But there's freedom and forgiveness, amen. But you can avoid all that. That's why the book is written. You don't have to have wounds. You don't have to have scars. The Blessed Mary had her scars after she bore Jesus, not before. And for every Tamar, there's a man out there trying to ruin you and to violate your flower, and they have no interest in you. They just want to have another trophy. The man that will love you will respect you. He will respect your no in the small things. No, don't touch me there. And he will pull back. But if he continues to do it, he's just trying to get you to give in. It's just like a stupid child. I get him at school all the time. Can I do this? No. Can I do this? No. How many times I say no? I'm going to say no as many times as you ask. Because I will not be like your parents and give in. And I've said that. And they go, whoa. No, I won't give in. Heck, I was undercover. I worked undercover. I'm shutting up. So, that's my soapbox. I'm coming back now. Building families. We want to build godly families here, and it starts young. Start young, encouraging and monitoring self-control. And I want you to look at the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. You know it by heart, I'm sure. It's in contrast to the fruit of the flesh, or the deeds of death, as some would call them. Verse 19 of chapter 5, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, which flaunts sin. Idolatry and witchcraft, yes, it's there. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Pardon me. Okay. I warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And I just let people read that. Is this characteristic of your life? But the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, I'm Spirit-filled. Well, then show me. Love is first. Love is patient. Love is kind, not haughty, selfish, or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love believes all things, endures all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. That's in that one word. Then you've got joy is next. Peace, patience. They're willing to wait. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And the last one. This is where the body, your body's controlled by the Spirit. It's a self-controlled, spiritual self-controlled. Where I love it when people say, I couldn't help myself. Of course you can't. You need Jesus to help you. Control you. Lord Jesus Christ, control my spirit. Control my actions. I practice going to stores without money on purpose to control my impulsive buying, which I hardly have anymore, but I used to have it bad. You know, I need that tool, I need that organizer thingy, and there it sits, unorganized, but it's still there. So, it starts young, and the more I teach in public schools, the more I see it. You've got till third grade in most cases, and the kids are rocked. They're solidified. Most cases, there's still hope. Jesus can change anybody, amen? But it starts young. I tell these kids, practice self-control. I had one class fold their hands and put their heads down. And they had to do it for 30 seconds. Could not do it. This last class, I lost the class for 45 minutes. I couldn't control it. So I barked out, "Touch it!" And some of the boys immediately jerked to attention. The guy, "Huh? Attention!" Feet out to the side, hands like this. The guy's got his fist. No, it's like you're grabbing a tennis racket. Put it at your side. Line up with your seams. Shoulders back, head up. Oh, ha ha. Drop, give me 20. You think it's funny? Give me 40. You want 60? Girl's getting a little nervous. Another boy goofed around. Whoa, you want 20? No. And it was funny. The kids I had the most trouble with were the first to snap to attention because I think they need discipline. Then one boy went like this. Oh, that's good, that's good. Let's do that. Okay, tension, Eddie's. Tension, Eddie's. And we practice that. Now, I said, will you disrespect the next substitute you have as you disrespected me today? No, sir, no. Sir, no, sir. Will you give the respect to others as they deserve? Yes, sir. Sir, yes, sir. I didn't tell them to say that. They did that all on their own. What do they need? Discipline. Self-discipline. And these kids need it. And where does it start? It starts in the home, and it starts young. Because then you get to deal with it, right? deal with it a lot because they have no self-control, none at all. Friends, the fruit of the Spirit is supernatural. And as we talked about in Sunday school, you prepare the ground until Christ be formed in them. So it starts young. Lord Jesus Christ needs to transform someone this morning. As you pursue the Lord Jesus Christ, dedicate not only your soul and spirit, but your body to righteousness. I've got several passages here on your notes, but the one I want to look at is Romans. So drop back to Romans. And I did write in my teacher evaluation, I apologize if I need to apologize to the little girls, because I think I scared them. When they got in line, I said, I'm not mad at you guys, I just want to see if this would work. Because I wasn't mad. I was frustrated. But it worked. So, but it won't be a school policy, I'm sure. Don't think so. Okay. It's a real cool context here about shall we sin that grace may abound in verse 1. By no means. How can we live in sin any longer? We've died to it. We're dead to sin. We don't have to give in to it. We're dead. Verse 5 says, if you've been united with Christ like him in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self, as verse 6 now, was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with, so that you will no longer be slaves of sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. You're free. You don't have to sin. You've got a choice now. Now, if we died with Christ, verse 8 says, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ is raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. It's really cool theology right there, okay? Verse 10, the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Okay, so Jesus doesn't go on other planets and dies. He died here on this planet. Verse 11, in the same way that you're dead to sin, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Reckon it. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Stop. You can say stop. Lord Jesus Christ, empower me to say no. Verse 13, do not offer parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law but under grace. You've got a choice. Say no to sin. Let Jesus manifest his righteousness within you. Someone may need to do it formally. Really simple. Lord Jesus Christ, I dedicate my body to you. Keep me pure and holy. When our girls grew up, was it 13 or 12? I can't remember now. We gave them a purity ring at age 12 or 13. Now, it was really cool. A little girl came up to me at Orchard Mason and says, oh, I have one of those. I have one of those. Well, praise God. I did say that. Public school, I know. But it was really neat. And I said, that's really neat, you know. Honor it. Honor that ring. You know, I've known girls who failed and they don't know what to do. So they live a lie. There's always forgiveness. Don't do the sin because there's forgiveness. But if you do fail, there's forgiveness. Does that make sense? Okay? And so you could do something like this in a formal ceremony, which we have a formal ceremony. I had a formal ceremony for my daughters. And I've published it somewhere on here. I don't know where it's at now. But so it's a simple prayer. And I'll give you a time for a little quiet time here to do this in your heart. But you say, Lord Jesus Christ, I dedicate my body. This is physical. Okay? So that your hands don't do what they used to do. What's that song? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Yeah. Little hands, what you do. Yeah. So let's do that. So quietly, I'll pray this out loud. You guys pray it in your hearts if you need to do that. Lord Jesus Christ, I dedicate my body to you. Keep me pure and holy. Someone here maybe today needs to release this stuff and find freedom in Jesus. Simple prayer, Heavenly Father, by the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, through his power, because forgiveness is a divine act of God, I confess that I have not used my body for righteousness. Then be specific. Specifically note what you haven't used for righteousness. I ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, to remove the pain and shame I have caused you. Be the part of my life that has been disobedient, or release myself into your hands. I cannot tell you how many times in my office where people pray that last part, I've released myself and the freedom of Jesus comes. He's paid for it. Let him take it from you. You can receive the grace of forgiveness today. You can be freed from the bondage of this sin and from its chains today. Sin must not have mastery over you, but you can find freedom today. So in the quietness of your heart, let's pray this prayer. I'll pray it out loud. You pray along with me if you need to, in your hearts. Heavenly Father, by the shed blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and through his power, I confess that I've not used my body for righteousness. I ask you, Lord Jesus Christ, move the pain and shame that I've caused you. Be the part of my life that has been disobedient to you. I release myself into your hands. Oh, Father, I pray that whoever prays this morning will find true freedom in you, that they realize that the sin no longer has mastery over them, but they can say no to sin and yes to you, for you died for these sins and delivered them from this bondage. Anybody ever see the movie Flywheel? Yeah. A few of you have. This is the trailer. And my hope is that your life is so transformed like this guy's that, and it's not the whole movie, just a little trailer here. But you got sound for me? Okay. Oh, I got to get out of here. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we've heard your word this morning. We have the song still echoing in our souls from our music time. And I pray that we go forth from here armed with the Holy Spirit's righteousness in our left hand and our right, the weapons of our warfare, spiritual warfare armor. May we be armed with the holy armor, with our helmet of salvation, as you are our helmet of salvation, Lord Jesus. We put you on as our breastplate of righteousness, for you are the righteous one. We put you on as our belt of truth, for you are the true and righteous one. We put you on, Lord Jesus Christ, as our shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace, for you are our Prince of Peace. You are our sword wielder. May we wield you and your word righteously and true. And may we be present in all things because we are victorious, because you've empowered us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.